Amen. I thank God on today. Amen. It feels like spring. But winter is still setting. Amen. We got to be careful. Got to bundle up. Amen. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you who are here this morning. We indeed have a word from God. Amen. We have a word that God wants to get over to his people. He wants his people to hear what he is saying about the situation, about the matter at hand. Amen. I mean, a lot of times we go to people for advice and they ain't got nothing to say to you. They just run in their mouth. That's what they do. They run their mouth. But God is going to say what needs to be said. But we need to make sure that we're in line in the word of God. Amen. Amen. My subject is still the same. I'm still in the same book, Judges. I feel a lot better than I did last Sunday. Amen. I got my strength back. Amen. Amen. A little under the weather, but I still made it here. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 16. I'm still in Judges. I begin reading at the 15th through the 17th. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Can we stand for the reading of God's word? Amen. When you go before the throne, amen, God is speaking, you give respect to it. Judges chapter 16, verse 15. I'm reading from the King James Version. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, thou have not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Amen. For the reading and hearing of God's word. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I want to say to you is that Satan has a plan against the people of God. Y'all want to know what that is? It's to wear you out. That is his plan. That is his goal. It's to wear you out. That's what Delilah did to Samson. She wore him out. That's what happens when you keep company with the devil. Eventually, he's going to wear you out. That's why the Bible says flee from the devil and he will resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. I didn't read anywhere in the scripture where it says God will take the devil away from you, but I did read where it says resist the devil and he shall flee. In other words, when it says resist, it means get closer to God, and the devil ain't going to get close to God. Amen. Y'all ever had somebody in your family that could fight? And you wasn't as great as a fighter, but as long as you stayed close to that person that could fight, nobody really bothered you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Well, that's what God is. You see, as long as you stay close to him, Satan ain't going to bother you as much because you're too connected to the source. But when you get away from the source, that's when he said, oh, I'm going to get this person. Because therein lies, they are separating themselves from the one who can help them. Amen. Amen. So what is it meant by the phrase to wear down and out? Well, the definition wear down is to break down or exhaust by relentless pressure or resistance. No different than a child pleading to their parents and wearing them down, finally getting what they want. I can recall myself doing that to my mom. I used to use strategy as a child where I knew my mother worked the swing shift. I knew she worked a night shift, and I knew how to get what I want because I knew she was tired. So I would wear her down in the sense where, Mom, can I have this? And I knew she would say yes, so I can leave her alone so she can rest. Strategy, wearing her down just so I can leave the room and not bother her. But I knew what's on my agenda. What was on my agenda is to get those Hostess Twinkies. That was, see back then, you know, my parents, they didn't keep the Twinkies in the kitchen or in the car because they knew they had a son named Ronnie that would be in there. So they kept that in their room, in their closet, away from it. So you had to go and ask for snacks. You just couldn't go and get them. So the ideal of reducing a little bit this minute, then reducing a little further the next, reducing a little today, reducing a little bit tomorrow, until the result is there is nothing there. That's what Satan does. Satan will take away your prayer life little by little and cause you to trust God less and yourself more and more and a little at a time. Satan would make you appear smarter than you was before. You are misled to rely more on your own gift, and step by step, your heart is enticed away from the Lord. My grandfather preached this message. He said, your greatest enemy is really living with yourself. You are your greatest enemy. The greatest, most dangerous enemy for any Christian is his or her flesh. From the day we are saved until the day we die, our new spiritual nature will be at odds against our old sinful flesh nature. We are constantly at war with the spirit. That is the spirit realm that is going on. When you become saved and you become delivered, now this new man, this new creature that is in Christ is warring against that old creature that you are trying to crucify and get rid of. They're constantly at odds. But I always say this, which one will win is the one that you feed. Amen? If you feed that old man will continue to live. But if you feed that spirit man of God, that spirit man of God will live. And that other one will be on life support. Many times we look at Satan to come in some type of way that will make his presence known. But Satan has many devices. Satan has many tactics he uses. And one of the tactics he uses is to wear the saints of God down. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11, it says that the scripture, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, we got to be smarter than his devices. Man operates a machine. We cannot allow the machine to be smarter than us. We have to be smarter than the machine that we're operating. It's just that simple. You know that the way you operate a machine, you know that there is danger involved in operating any machine. So in other words, you got to be smarter than the machine that you're operating. We have to be smarter than Satan that is trying to destroy us and wear us down. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel saw a vision of four beasts, and he saw a vision of the kingdom of God. But in verse 25, here's what it says. And he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand unto a time and times and the dividing of times. The scripture says that he, which is Satan, shall wear down the saints. Satan's plan And his motive and his agenda is to wear us down. That is scripture. This is not Pastor Ronnie speaking these words this morning. This is the word of God trying to tell you that Satan has an agenda on your life, and that is to wear you down. See, when we look at the word to wear out, it is an idea of reducing a little bit at a time, reducing it a little bit today and reducing a little bit tomorrow. Have you ever seen a Christian person lose their spirituality? There was a gradual wearing out of their spirit. The end result is there is nothing left. In other words, over time, this person has come in contact with something that eventually grabbed hold of them, and eventually, over time, they begin to wear themselves out and down. In Matthew chapter 24 and 12, the Bible says that for this reason, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. What does this mean? It means a gradual growing cold. If you want to know why you're feeling the way you're feeling, don't feel like attending worship service on this Sunday or participating in anything at the church. It's because he's wearing you down gradually. Y'all follow me? He's wearing you down. Anytime you get to the point where you don't feel like doing something, it is a wearing down on the spirit man. When you don't want to participate in anything that is of God and anything that has to do with God, it is a wearing down of your spiritual man that Satan has taken hold of. He's wearing down on your spirit and your soul gradually. We only look at the big problems. That's our problem right there. We only look at the big problems and the big situations and the big circumstances. We have to understand Satan is very strategic in what he's doing. He reduces little bit by little bit, every single day, little bit by little bit. I often say this, Romans speaks of creeping things. In other words, things that creeps up into your life, things that creeps up into your house. I used this analogy before, and it's worth saying it again, that if I presented to you an object, and I say, do you want this object? You can say no, but I guarantee you I can get this object in your house. How? I would do it little by little. Well, how is little by little? Well, I would take this screw and plant it in your house. Then I would take a knob and plant that in your house. And then I would take a dresser drawer and plant that in your house. And before you know it, I got the whole dresser in your house. Well, how did I do it? Well, each time you invited me over, I brought a little bit with me. And each time that I came, I had something to deliver and drop off. And so therefore, when it came to the appointed time, I was able to assemble what I needed to assemble inside of your house that you said you didn't want. That's what Satan does to us. It is a gradual thing that he does, and he is very clever in how he does it. We don't see it. We don't see the screw that's laying around. What is this screw? Oh, it may go to something later. Let me put this up. Y'all follow me? Let me put this up. This may go to something. That is a plant. You understand what I'm saying? It is a plant. Things don't just happen. If I came in struggling with this dresser coming through your house that you said you didn't want, you say, hey, get that out of here. I don't want that. You see what I'm saying? I'm coming through the door. I told you I don't want that. I don't want that in my house. It doesn't go with anything that I have. But if I come in and say, hey, how you doing? All right, you know, put that over there and going on about my business. Next thing you know, I got it in your house. Why? Because you're not in tune to what's going on in your house. Satan does little by little. Samson in the book of Judges, he had failures just like we have failures. But he still should not have left his consecration, sanctification, nor his testimony of his separation. He was separated from the worldly statures. The loss of concentration means the loss of power. The loss of testimony signifies the loss of the presence of God. Samson was a Nazarite. He was concentrated unto God. Satan knew the source of his power is laid in his consecration. Satan knows that our power in the body of Christ lies in our consecration and in our testimony. If he can get us out of our separation from God, from our consecration, and if he can get us from being separated unto God, then he's got us. Satan used Delilah. In Judges chapter 16, Delilah began to speak to Samson in verse 15. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee when thy heart is not with me? That thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. At first, it will seem like everything you're doing is okay. But then, after a while, you begin to lose your praise. After a while, you won't pray in the spirit like you used to. Every day, Satan will get you to reduce your spiritual walk with God, to get you to a place where there is nothing left. You lost your consecration, your separation, and your testimony. Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. There's a process that you're going through that if we don't recognize who it is, the Bible says that there would be a great falling away from the church. So if you look around today, what do you see? See a lot of empty seats, right? That's because there's a great falling away. Folks don't even care about the coming to church on Sundays anymore. Folks don't even care about God anymore. Folks just are giving up on the fact that God even exists. If there is a depression, let me say this. If there is a depression, a misery in your home, Satan is wearing you out. If your church, in your church, if you feel that nobody loves you, Satan is wearing you out. He's trying to reduce you until there's literally nothing left. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is wearing us down gradually until you won't attend church anymore. You're only here because of a ritual or because you knew that something is going on Sunday. So you said, well, I guess I'll go to church. Or you do it just because it's Sunday morning. But there's really nothing in your heart. Satan is wearing you out. You are trying to hide things from God or from the saints, knowing that you really need help. You need to understand that Satan is wearing you out. Delilah pressed Samson until his spirit was vexed. In other words, irritated, angry, annoyed. In church today, so many of God's people have been pressed, and now their spirit man is vexed. And that's why when the praise leader says, praise him, you can't praise him because the spirit inside of you is vexed. The preacher can't get a hallelujah from you because the spirit inside of you is vexed. The preacher can't even get a clap your hands or a stomp your feet type of amen or anything from you. You're just sitting there. That's because your spirit is vexed. It is growing cold. Why? Because you're not in the word of God. God's word is still power. God's word still has authority. God's word is still as good as it was, as if my great-grandmother was praying or my grandmother was reading or my great-grandfather was reading. It is still good as it is today. We just need the people of God to get in God's word and use God's word the way it's supposed to be used.
So it is a gradual thing called falling away. Satan knows that if he comes at you and just attacks you, he knows that you're going to fall down on your knees and start praying to God. So Satan is not going to come at you hard like that because he knows what he's going to get out of you, and that's not what he wants. He don't want you to fall down on your knees to praise God if he come at you that way. So what does he do? He does it a little bit at a time. He eats away at your spirit every day, takes a little bite out of this day, and takes another little bite out of it the next day. It's no different than when you're cooking something, or you don't want somebody to know that you done took a slice of the cake that's in the kitchen that is for dinner later, but you go and gradually you go and you cut the cake. I didn't do this, but I'm just telling what I know that happens. But you go and you cut a slice of the cake, and then you try to fill it in with some whipped cream or anything that you can try to do to kind of camouflage it over. In other words, what you're really doing is taking a little bit at a time to make sure that it's not noticed by anybody. But then soon and after a while, you know, you begin to go back and take another bite. Why? Because you can't resist the taste that you had. This is what Satan does to us. He gives us a little bit at a time, and then before you know it, you can't resist it. Then you start going back and back and back, and then all of a sudden, gradually, he got you. That's what he's doing. He's taking a little bit out of us every day. And he's saying to himself, you know, they won't even notice. There are things going on in our lives that are causing us to lose our concentration. That's where our power is. Anybody can walk through those church doors every Sunday, but if you're not spending time in the Word of God, there's no power in you. It's only when you spent time in the Word of God and in the house of prayer, and you have literally put your trust in God, that you walking with power. That's where the power is. It's in the separation from the world and clinging to God. Draw near to him. Samson told Delilah his heart. He revealed the secret of his power and then fell into the snare of Satan. Sometimes thoughts of who we used to be keeps popping in our head. Thoughts of what we used to do keeps popping up every time. That's because Satan is trying to wear you down. He's trying to get you to think that when you was out there in the world, remember, you had it going and you had it, it was on and popping with you. He was basically saying that, you remember how those parties you used to throw? You remember what you used to do? Man, you was the neighborhood man. You used to get things going. Satan is talking to you and trying to say, hey, man, let's do what we used to do. Let's have a reunion of what we used to do, how much fun we used to have. He's trying to put thoughts back into your head to get you to go back to your partying lifestyle. Well, you can party with Jesus, too, just with different partners. Satan is trying to wear you down. It's causing you to go back a little bit at a time. Satan is gradually wearing you down like Delilah did Samson until she had her way with him. You need to understand that there's a consecration cannot be lost. The separation cannot be lost. We have to guard against these tactics Satan is using against us. Let me tell you this short story. I don't like to tell the movie before, you know, people see it, but I have to tell you this. This is, I watched this movie called The Founder, and it was about how the McDonald's franchise started. And if you haven't seen the movie, you really have to see this movie because it shows, the message that I got in this movie, it showed me how Satan operates. I mean, all I could see was how Satan operates. These two brothers, they were the McDonald brothers. They started a hamburger chain in San Bernardino, California. And these two brothers, you know, had their little business going and everything, and had a little assembly line going, and man, everything was going good. And all of a sudden, they needed a shake machine, you know, so they need more because the business was going good. And then they ran into this man named Ray Kroc. And a man named Ray Kroc came and saw the business and saw how good it was, and then all of a sudden, you know, he said, "You sure you want this many shake machines?" They said, yeah, we want that many. So he sold it to him and gave it to him. And then the brothers, being who they are, nice and everything, they took him and walked him around their business, showed him everything in the business, showed them how they do this and showed them how they do that and all this type of stuff over there. And Ray Kroc was looking and his wheels were spinning. His wheels were spinning and he said, "Man, I see franchise." And they was like, No, I don't want to do that. We just want to do this right here. He's like, Come on. Persistence. He was relentless, kept going. And then all of a sudden, They gave in to him. They said, "Well, sign this contract then." And he went through the contract. Long story short, went through the contract. And then they said, "Yeah. I signed." So he signed it. But he was clever in what he was doing. Shrewd businessman. Very shrewd. Next thing you know, long story short, the man stole the business from underneath them. Because what's happened was they allowed him inside. And he saw the operation of the business. Then all of a sudden, he stole it from underneath them. Made millions. And when they got ready to sue him, they said, I'm national. You're local. He said, "You don't have the money to fight me," basically. Stole it from men making millions of dollars. He's known as the founder. Don't even have the last name. But he's known as the founder of McDonald's. But these two brothers have the last name McDonald's. You don't even know anything about them. Satan operates the same way. You allow him to come in. He comes in. He infiltrates. He sees what you're doing. He takes that information. He uses against you. And next thing you know, you're left with nothing. At the end of the story, it said that Ray Kroc never gave the family their due money. Never. This man made millions. Millions. We even contributed to it. Made millions. Y'all need to see this movie. And never gave the family the money that they deserved. That's the way Satan is. He made promises. "Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you." Never gave it. Isn't that what Satan does? Makes promises. Can't deliver. Why he can't deliver? Because Satan can't bless you. That's why Satan can't deliver. Because he can't bless you. Only God can bless you. That's where the blessings come from. So, you must not let him wear you down completely until we don't have a prayer life left. Until we're constantly so busy, until we don't have any time to spend with him at all, until we don't have any time to spend with Jesus, something or someone is always going to fight for your attention. I'm going to tell you this right now. You can understand that. I got two little ones. One or the other one is going to fight for my attention, whether it be my son or whether it be my daughter. They're both are going to fight for my attention. Why? Because that's what they're going to do. In other words, there's always going to be something on Sunday morning that's going to fight for your attention. My thing is this. If you can't get it done during a weekday outside of Sunday, then it could wait. I don't think it's if it's not a life or death situation, it can wait. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It is not that important. I'm sorry. I don't deal with medical. My aunt deals with medical. She understands the importance of if it's a life or death situation. Now, in her situation, it can't wait because a life is dependent on it. But what I do with my job, it's not a life or death situation. Y'all follow me? So it can wait. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to lose anything. It can wait. But there's something that requires immediate attention. That's why you have emergency care and you have urgent care. You have routine care. There is a difference. Some things require immediate attention. Some things may not be able to, you may not be able to get to right away, but it's urgent, but you can still survive. But then you got situations where there's some things that can wait till the next business day. that's in the medical realm. But I'm here to tell you that we have got to know the trick of the enemy. If you see yourself being pulled away constantly from Sunday morning worship, it is a wearing down of your spiritual man. Satan is trying to get you little by little. He is not going to come to anybody with a red costume on. He is not going to come to you with this big tactic that's going to say to you that, hey, just stop going to church altogether. He is not going to come to you like that. It's going to be a gradual difference. It's going to be a wearing down. That's how they do it. When Paul was preaching in Macedonia, he met a certain maiden that had a spirit of foretelling or forecasting. She followed him around crying out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim unto you the way of salvation." Most of us will say, well, those words should be words of encouragement. They're talking about they're the Most High God. You know, why would you do that? Why would you rebuke somebody like that? But he discerned, this is why when you're connected to God, you know the difference between who's acting a fool and who's real. Okay, let me go there with you, and just in case you're not understanding what I'm saying. You can understand the difference between when somebody is shouting in the spirit or when somebody's up here dancing. There is a difference. How do you know that? You got to be in the spirit. If you're not in the spirit, you won't know it. Then you're going to criticize the person who's stopping the secular dance. You understand what I'm saying? But if somebody is in the spirit, because David was in the spirit on the Lord, then he danced out of his clothes. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He was in the spirit. So he danced. So God don't have a problem with the dance, but it's the spirit that is in you that God has a problem with. So Paul had a problem with this person following him around, saying these things about him. So Paul got to the point where he got mad and he said, hold up, turn around and rebuke this person. Now, let me tell you something. He rebuked the spirit, not the individual. See, a lot of times we want to get the person and not the spirit. That's a difference. I'm not attacking the person. I'm attacking the spirit. But because you're not in the spiritual realm, you can't see that. All you see is me going after this person as if I have a problem with this person, and I don't. I have a problem with the spirit that they have. Paul got so mad at him that he turned around and he rebuked the woman and said he charged that spirit to come out in the name of Jesus. See, instead of rebuking the devil, instead of getting vexed with the devil, we get vexed with the people. We get vexed with the person instead of with the spirit operating in the person. The spirit came out that very moment. But when Paul reached the end of his rope, instead of giving up, he told the devil to get out. I was confronted one Sunday years ago with the unclean spirit that was coming up in the church. And I had to tell that spirit to get out. Right before I'm getting up and getting ready to give a message, I had to tell that spirit to get out. Why? Because that person had an unclean spirit on them that was trying to come inside of the church. So I had to put that spirit out. Now, the only thing I would say is that when I put that spirit out, that person just left with it. So don't get mad at me when I put that spirit out and that person left with it. I don't put people out. I put that spirit out. Now, if you got that spirit with you, it's going to carry you. So don't come at me like I did something wrong. No, I'm going to rebuke that spirit if I see it again coming up in this church, because you will not cause division in God's house. Now, get me for getting that spirit, not the person. The person let me know what they was carrying with them. That Satan has been pressing on you every single day, and some of you are at the point where you want to be like Samson and release the source of your power. But God wants you to be like Paul and tell the devil to get out. Don't surrender, but rise up with righteousness and tell the devil that he's got to go. Let me tell you something. If I'm going to get an attitude with somebody, I'm going to get an attitude with the devil, and I'm going to get a good one with him. See, you need to understand that, you know, y'all know how y'all like to get folks told. They just say it. You know, some of us have a razor-sharp tongue where we like to get people, you know, we have a smart comment waiting. It's just sitting right there. As soon as somebody says something, that smart comment, it's like right there. It's like oozing right out of your mouth because you're ready to get back at somebody for saying something to you. That's just how quick we are. Y'all ever seen folks like that? I ain't talking about nobody here. I'm just saying, have y'all ever seen folks that just do that type of stuff? As soon as you're like, did you rehearse this? How did you know to say something that smart, that quick? That's because it's oozing right out of here. They come in with the drooling, ready to say something smart. Some of us are at the point of going off on somebody, saying something to them. We need to be rebuking the devil, not the person. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principality. That's what we're wrestling with. See, we need to not get upset. We need not to let the devil take our joy from us. You need to get your joy back. You need to get your shout back. You remember when you first got saved? How excited you were, how you was in love. You remember that? I mean, sometimes you got to go back to when you first believed, when you first got saved, and how it felt to you, how it meant to you. So in other words, you got to say, Lord, take me back. Take me back to where you first believed, to where you first came in contact with the Lord. Go back to the spot where you got saved and do a memorial for yourself and remember how you gave a shout out to the Lord about how he saved you and how he delivered you and how he set your feet on solid ground. You got to go back to how God did it for you. See, when you tell folks now Jesus is coming, they say, when? We're not excited anymore. If you can't sit in the house of God without cracking a smile at all, then there's a problem. Your spirit is vexed. It's growing cold. You need God to restore your soul. Don't let the devil wear you out. Cast the devil out. He's trying to wear you down. Paul went to visit Felix. Let me tell y'all something. This is what happens to us too. Paul went to visit Felix for about 2 whole years. And in those 2 years, that powerful, anointed man of God could not get Felix converted. You need to discern when you need to keep on talking and when you need to leave that person alone. People will wear you out. I had a person that was doing me like that. I mean, they were wearing me out. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I had to act like a doctor. I said, I'm going to give you some scriptures to read. And I want you to read this daily. You know how doctors, they give you some medication they prescribe and they say, you need to take this such and such time and this such and such time. And when you're finished with that, come back and see me. I had to do one of those numbers. I had to say, hold up, you need to read this. You need to read that. And you need to read that. And when you're done, come back and talk to me. But I need you to read. I had to write a prescription. I had to give them something to read on and let it marinate for a little while. And then come back and talk to me. And then I give you some more. In other words, I'm going to medicate them with the word of God. And then next thing you know, they're going to be on high. But I couldn't let them wear me down. Y'all follow me? You can constantly go, well, doctor, I took this, but this ain't. Doctor, like, hold up. Give it some time. Come back and see me in a couple of months. So I had to act like a doctor to him. I said, well, come back and see me in a little while. But in the meantime, I need you to take this and meditate on it. And then do a follow-up visit. And I get you set up. But in the meantime, I need you to do what you need to do. And that's getting God's word. Sometimes you got to let the medication get the flowing through your veins and start going through certain parts of your body that it needs to go to start activating and attacking those things that it needs to attack inside your body. It's the same way in the spirit realm. You need to let the word of God marinate through your soul so it can go to those parts of your soul that is not being touched with the word of God. And then once you get it, then all of a sudden you see that hand going up. Why? Because the word of God is now flowing through the parts of the body that it should be flowing through, like it should be working, and now your hand won't be a problem of raising your hand. You won't need a praise leader to tell you, come on, y'all, put your hands together. Your hands will already be going together. Oh, then all of a sudden, if you don't have rhythm, guess what? Your foot will start stomping too. I know what I'm talking about. That's because the scriptures are starting to get down inside of you. And it's starting to grow roots, and it's starting to manifest itself inside of you, and it's starting to pour out. So, and all of a sudden, when you didn't want to say praise the Lord, or when you didn't want to say hallelujah, now you can raise your hands. You know, I remember when I was shy, believe it or not, didn't want to come behind a microphone and talk, didn't want to say an Easter speech, didn't want to sit and didn't want to stand in front of people. But look at me now. This ain't me doing this. This is the Spirit of the Lord that is inside of me, that's making me bold to say, preach my word anyhow. Because if it was left up to me, I would be sitting somewhere out there in the audience, working in the background, not being seen or heard. But God said, I see you praising me when nobody else is praising me. I see what you're doing. He said, I'm going to bless you openly so everybody would know. That's what happens when you praise the Lord. The Lord is speaking to us today, and he's giving us tactics on how the devil is trying to slowly take us out, and slowly but surely he's wearing people out, gradually taking every ounce of spirituality that they have out of them. Saints, I'm going to tell you like this. I want my joy. I want my peace. I want my love. I want everything that God has promised me. I want that. You can have the money, you can have the house, all that stuff. You can have all that. You can take that. But I'm going to tell you this. Give me Jesus. I got everything. Because in him, there is everything. There is nothing missing. But Satan will wear you out. He's wearing the saints out gradually. We think it's in things that are going to make us happy. No, we really think that. We do. But it's the only one, Jesus, it's the only one that can bring joy. See, joy and happiness is not the same. See, you can get happy for a moment. And once that happiness is gone, literally, it's gone. Gone. But see, when you got joy, joy is much deeper than the happiness that you may have. I remember growing up, my grandmother used joy a lot. And as I saw it on the counter when she's washing dishes, I looked and I saw joy every time. And I wondered, what is up with this joy? But I looked and I saw her, she was always washing with joy. And my grandmother always had a smile on her when she was washing her dishes. That's because she was letting me know she wasn't just happy. She had joy. Not the bottle that was on the counter. That's not the joy I'm really talking about right now. But she had the joy that was on the inside of her that was making her smile and washing dishes. I don't know anybody that smiled doing labor and washing dishes. But my grandmother could smile washing dishes. That's because when I looked over and I saw the joy on the counter, but I also saw the joy that was on her. She had joy, unspeakable joy. Joy that man didn't give her. Joy that you didn't give her because you didn't know her. Joy that only Jesus gave her because she looked back over her life and she saw how good God has been. She saw that her family was taken care of. She had a roof over her head, bills being paid, family in good health, everybody doing fine. So she had joy inside of her, and that's what we need. We need that joy inside of us. So you can't let the devil take the joy that God has given you. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to finish this. I'm on page 5. I said, I ain't going to finish this. I said, it's going to have to be another part. But let me tell you something. Satan, he'll attack our body, try to wear us down, and turn us from God. He'll do things to us like he did them to Job, gradually. If this doesn't work, then this was going to work. I'm going to try something different. Let me tell you something. What has worked on you may not work on me, or what worked on me may not work on you. But let me tell you something. Satan will try it. Have y'all ever tried to fix something and you took something? You took a socket wrench and you say, well, this ain't going to work on that. Let me get another one. I'm going to get this screw loose and say, oh, man, no. In other words, you're looking in your repertoire to see what you can get that's going to fit this nut and that's going to unscrew it. That's what Satan is doing to us. He said, I got something that's going to fit this person, and I'm going to try to unscrew them. I'm going to try to unloosen them because they're too tight. I'm going to try to do what I can to unloose them, to get them away from God. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to hold on. That's why we got to get locked up with each other. We got to get locked up in the Word of God. We got to walk hand in hand with the Word of God. We got to put the devil underneath our feet. We got to resist him. Samson should have never been messing around with this woman. Should have never been entertaining her. All three women that he was messing around with was somebody who God had said, I don't even want you to mess around with those people. But he did it anyway, and it cost him a lot. I don't have time to get into that, but I will tell you, the most expensive haircut in the history was when Samson got his head shaved. Because it cost him a whole lot. The most expensive haircut, Samson. Samson and Delilah, their story. I'm almost done. I ain't going to finish it. I know. I'm like my grandfather. Now I know what he said. I wish I had time. Boy, I wish I had time. I didn't understand it when I was sitting there. I said, well, you got all the time you need. But now I'm like, oh, I wish I had time. I don't have enough time. Where did the time go? Oh, man, where did the time go? Samson and Delilah, their story is one of love, lies, and loss. It's a story that should be read, studied, and taken to heart. Their story does not teach us a lesson about genuine love and romance, but about the dangers of getting too close to the enemy. Their story is a story of deception, greed, lust, and destruction. Their story stands as a constant warning to those who would play with sin. Their story is a reminder to us all that sin is deceptive and it is deadly. There may be pleasure in a season. Maybe pleasure in sin for a season, just for a season. But in the end, sin is never worth the pleasure it provides. We need to understand this. Satan will do anything he can to continue to bring you away from God. Do anything, any tactics, anything. She kept playing. He kept playing with Delilah, playing with her, playing with her. Then until finally she wore him down. Haven't y'all seen that before? People being worn down because we continue to play with something that we shouldn't. Some of you, I had some coworkers to say to me, oh, ain't nothing wrong with this. Come on, man, live a little. I'm already living. They're telling me to live a little. I'm already living, man. I don't understand. What is live a little? To do what you're doing? I don't want to do that. I found something better. Much better than what you're doing. But people will try to wear you down. As hard as a preacher can preach,
when he's done or she's done preaching, guess what? It's on you. I'm telling you right now, it's on you. We can sweat, squall, do all kind of stuff up here, but when it's all said and done, it is on you. You have to be strong. How do you get strong? When I say resist the devil, I'm just saying when you resist him, don't mean that he ain't going to come back. He may leave, but he's going to come back. And when he come back, you need to say, like Jesus said, it is written. Because, see, I've been studying that man shall not live. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have to know how to attack Satan. You constantly hit him with the word of God. Y'all, man, let me say this to you, and I'm going to close. Y'all know folks in the natural, when you start talking about Jesus, they don't want to hear about it, right? Let's be real. I mean, just to say it. They don't want to hear about it, right? They leave you alone, right? Yeah, what you think Satan's going to do when you start talking about the Lord? He ain't going to want to be around that. He don't want to hear that. He's going to leave you. The same way those people are, oh, they're talking about Jesus over there. Oh, yeah, there you go. They're talking about Jesus again. You know, they'll be like this. All right, man, I'll catch you later. They don't want to talk to you. Satan is the same way in the spiritual realm. You start talking about how good God has been to you, even though things are bad, but God is still good. Oh, Satan be like, hold up now. Oh, how is God good to you and you still got a praise in you? You can still shout. When David couldn't find nobody to praise him, praise God, when he praised him by himself, he danced out of his clothes. His wife wouldn't even encourage him. David said, I don't need nobody. I can do it by myself. That man got so caught up in the word of God, he danced out of his clothes. I don't think David knew he was even naked until he came to himself. That's when you can't find nobody to praise God with you, then you just go get crazy by yourself and say, I'm going to do it right here. I don't care if I am a king. I don't care who I am. I'm going to praise God because God is worthy. When you do that in front of the devil will look like, this man is out of his mind. This man is in love with God. Sometimes you just got to get crazy for yourself. You ain't crazy, though. You just saved. That's all that is. Let me tell you something. When God sees that, he'll bless you. So when you're at work and they bothering you, start praising God. Start thinking. I mean, you can just do like this. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've done it many a times. When I'm attacked, I say, I know I'm on the Lord's side. Because I know I ain't do nothing wrong. I said, and I'm being attacked for some foolishness. For something that I didn't even do, I said, whoa, that's why I had to really pause and say, I'm on the Lord's side. And that's when you have to, you know, if you can't sing, you just start doing it to yourself. Start moaning and groaning inside of you. Get your own praise going on inside. That's when you walk past people, you're smiling, and they say, man, they just wrote you up. Hey, but you know what? There's a bigger write-up. And that bigger write-up is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what my name is. I'm not worrying about my name being on a supervisor book. I'm not worrying about my name being written in HR for bad performance. I know I've been performing well. That's just a hater drinking some haterade. Amen. I'm not going to finish. I still got some more. Come on, officers, before I change my mind. Y'all walking a little slow. I got time. All right.